From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's meditation comes from three texts. Jude 1, sanctified by God the Father, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, through sanctification of the Spirit. Mark the union of the three divine persons in all their gracious acts. How unwisely do those believers talk who make preferences in the persons of the Trinity, who think of Jesus as if he were the embodiment of everything lovely and gracious, while the Father they regard as severely just, but destitute of kindness. Equally wrong are they who magnify the decree of the Father and the atonement of the Son, so as to depreciate the work of the Spirit. In deeds of grace, none of the persons of the Trinity acts apart from the rest. They are as united in their deeds as in their essence. In their love towards the chosen, they are one, and in the actions which flow from that great central source, they are still undivided. Specially notice this in the matter of sanctification. While we may, without mistake, speak of sanctification as the work of the Spirit, yet we must take heed that we do not view it as if the Father and the Son had no part therein. It is correct to speak of sanctification as the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit. Still does Jehovah say, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness," and thus we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See the value which God sets upon real holiness, since the three persons in the Trinity are represented as co-working to produce a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you, believer, as the follower of Christ, must also set a high value upon holiness, upon purity of life and godliness of conversation. Value the blood of Christ as the foundation of your hope, but never speak disparagingly of the work of the Spirit, which is your meetness for the inheritance of the saints in light. This day, let us so live as to manifest the work of the triune God in us.
For you.
Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Saving Faith and the Free Offer of the Gospel, an exposition of Romans chapter 10. The theme is the nature of saving faith. Paul commenced the chapter with an expression of his heartfelt desire for the people of Israel to be saved. Although Israel was God's chosen people, they placed their hope of heaven upon their relationship to Abraham. As Paul emphasizes, this was a vain hope, for salvation is not by works or by ancestry, but by faith in Christ. God will not accept some mixture of works and faith. Sinners must deal with the person, the work, and the words of Christ. Yet, God has made the way of salvation simple enough that children can understand it. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Saving Faith and the Free Offer of the Gospel.
He's saying to you, if you try to be saved by your own works, it's like trying to say, I'm going to ascend to heaven. Can you do that? This is a word that connotes a great deal of physicality. It's like physically raising yourself up to heaven. Well, can you do that? Obviously not. So why are you talking about working your way to heaven? Why are you talking about any other righteousness than the righteousness of Christ? Why are you depending on your religion or your zeal or your works or anything? Why are you not on your face before God pleading for the merits of Christ? Why, says Paul? Because the way you're going, you may as well say, I'm going to will to be like Elijah and just rise into heaven. You can't do it. No matter how much you will to do it. No matter how much you work to do it, it's not going to happen. Can you plumb down into the depths? Can you go to the depths of the abyss? Can you go to the depths of the grave and of hell? Can you take on the powers of darkness? Can you defeat sin, Satan, hell? Can you defeat every power of darkness? Can you defeat death itself and rise a conqueror over the tomb? Can you, by your own efforts, ever get to where you can produce eternal life? Obviously not. It's impossible. But that's what you have to do in order to be saved. Somehow, you've got to be able to ascend to heaven. Somehow, by some method, sin, the grave, Satan, hell, death, they must all be defeated, and life must be brought forth. Now, you can't do that by yourself. That's the truth that Paul is teaching here. This is why God insists on faith in Christ, for he has done these things. He has accomplished these things. And therefore, he's insisting on faith in Christ, because any other way is impossible. Therefore, the duty, and I use that word very, very carefully, the duty of every man who hears the gospel is to believe it. Verse 8, the gospel shuts men up to faith in Christ. Now I want you to notice something. Commentators, I believe, some of them have noted this in verse 8, but they haven't noted how Paul used it in verse 9. You're going to have to wait till next week till I show you how he used it in verse 9. Otherwise this will be a long night. But it's interesting, in quoting from Deuteronomy 30, Paul left some things out. When Moses said to them, the word is not far away. You don't have to scale the heavens. You don't have to cross the sea. God has brought his word near to you. He's made his word known to you. Why did he do that? I want you to listen to this. For this answers every criticism of those Calvinists who deny the free offer of the gospel. Moses said he brought it near to you that ye may do it. In fact, you may well translate part of what he says, God has brought it near to you and you can do it. Now hold a second. Moses didn't preach works righteousness. Moses did not preach human ability. But he did preach human responsibility. He knew the necessity of grace. If time permitted tonight, we could go through even that book of Deuteronomy and you would see how he emphasized this again and again. Moses knew the absolute necessity of grace. And as Paul makes clear here in these very words, he is preaching the righteousness of faith. And yet he says, you can do it. And you should do it. You see, what he's saying is this. Never make the sovereignty of God an excuse for your not believing. Never do that. What he's saying to them in Deuteronomy 30, God has brought the word near. That's all you need to know. God has brought the word near to you. Can you understand it? Is it simple? Is it plain? Sure it is. Now let me make this clear to you. We have talked over these past weeks of some very deep theological truths. But yet, the fundamental message is absolutely clear and plain. You're a sinner. You have no means of saving yourself. Christ died for sinners, having lived a spotless righteous life, to create a perfect righteousness with which to clothe them. And all the merits of Christ are freely made over to every single sinner who submits to Him and cries for His salvation. Now tell me, what is it about that you can't understand? The Word is not so high in the heavens that it would take you to be Michael the Archangel to get to it. The Word is not deep down in the abyss, far beyond your reach. This is plain and simple and understandable. And what Moses is saying, that's all you need to know. I have made it known to you. God has made it known to you. Why? Because you should do it. And secondly, you may do it. Now it's interesting, Paul leaves that out. But does he? As I will prove more fully next week, if God permits. Having said in verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And here he gives another interpretation. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is that word of faith? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I will take a little more time to deal with this, probably next time. But when Paul said if, he was taking the very truth that Moses had preached, you may do it. The particular and peculiar construction that he chose here in Romans 10 verse 9. If I may, and I will repeat this again next week, for it's very important. He's saying, if, and I'm assuming not that you will, but that you may do so. That's the force of the if in Romans 10 verse 9. So Paul actually gathers up what Moses had said. Listen, there's nothing obscure about the basic message of the gospel. There's nothing that a 5 or 6 year old child has difficulty understanding. He's saying, do not trip over the plain simplicity of the gospel, because the real trouble, getting back to the real trouble, is not that you don't understand it, but you won't submit to it. That's the real trouble. But the word is near to you. It's plain, it's clear, it's simple, it's insistent. There's only one way of salvation, the merit of Christ. There's only one way of receiving it. That's faith in Christ. And you may exercise faith in Christ. Paul's not talking theological niceties here. Paul is dealing as an evangelist with souls, and he's saying, you may come to Christ. You have a warrant to come. Are you willing to submit to the righteousness of God in Him? Are you willing to have God's Christ on His own terms? Are you willing to have what He did by coming, by plunging to the depths, rising again? Are you willing to have Christ as He's offered in the gospel? Then God has revealed it, made it plain, that you may do so. That's the message. It's the only message. Anything else locks you into the impossible absurdity of scaling the heights of heaven to bring Christ down, or plumbing the depths of the abyss to bring Him up as if He had never risen from the dead. God does not set before you either impossibility or absurdity. He sets before you tonight the simple clarity and absolute certainty of the gospel of his own dear Son. It's a gospel for sinners. The trouble with the Jews is they didn't see themselves as such sinners as needed such an outside or alien righteousness. And that's the big stumbling block for so many. They don't see their need of Christ. But oh, for the man who's brought into the dust, leveled on his face before God, convicted of his sin and his total inability to do anything to raise his soul to heaven, to that man, God points to Christ. Do you see him? He has come. He has come. Why? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He has come. He has died. And he has risen again from the dead. As Paul put it in Romans 4:25, he was delivered on account of our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. God points the sinner to Christ and says, there is my righteousness. There is my way of salvation. Submit to it. Submit to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word tonight, we pray. O God, write it upon every heart. Have mercy upon the lost. Oh, it is so natural for fallen man to go about to establish his own righteousness, doing this and that and the other thing, running hither and yon, doing one thing after another in order to establish his own righteousness. Lord, it's so natural to our depraved nature. Oh, we pray that thou wilt show men and women the utter and absolute absurdity, the total impossibility of being saved that way. And God grant that tonight thou wilt lead them to Christ. We thank thee that he is the end of the law for righteousness. We thank thee, our God, that Christ is the righteousness of every believer. Oh, we pray, bring the lost to Jesus. We have been singing tonight about the gifts and the graces of faith and repentance supplied by thee. Oh, Lord, work mightily upon hearts this evening. And God grant that thy Spirit will overcome. Bless us who are saved. Forgive us the coldness of heart. We can sit back nonchalantly while our nation perishes and while millions around us tramp the broad road with resolute step to hell. Gracious God, break our hearts for sinners and grant that with Paul we may ache before the throne as we cry for the salvation of the lost. Hear our cry. And part us with thy blessing. Grant that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and evermore. We pray in the name and through the merits of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.